This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Master of Wisdom, Lord Christ, help us to inwardly digest what you mean by bread of life. What you mean by take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Maybe we are asking to understand, Lord, what cannot be understood, but only experienced in your love, your peace, your wisdom, your silence. Show us the way, Lord. Amen. Please be seated. I am not one for gory scenes. Today's gospel, especially today's gospel, and others like it that we've been hearing, are kind of hard for me to read. I don't know about you. But all of this talk about eating flesh and drinking blood is foreign to our Western 21st century ears. Makes us think of cannibalism or something. When that's exactly what first century Christians were accused of. It was foreign to them as well when they first heard it. And it's weird for us to have Jesus speaking so graphically, even knowing what we've learned about Middle Eastern idioms and the way in which they spoke about eating something or drinking something. So if they said, like Rev. Mary talked about last week and I did the week before that, if you said to somebody you wanted really for them to get a certain text, you'd say, eat that text. It didn't mean you rip out the paper and chew it. It meant take it into your being. Allow it to become you. And so still, though, these words, when we read them, are hard for many of us in this culture to read. Still is for me. Something in our gut, our heart, cringes. I started watching NCIS right after it first came out. So this was like 15 years ago. I love that show. Not the spin-offs, just the original one. But I'll never forget, the first time I watched it, I was shocked by the image at the very beginning of the victim. There was something in me that just, it felt like I had been invaded or something. And so something, though, the story was so appealing to me, the storyline, the writing is so great, I can have continued to watch it ever since. Except now, when they go to pan to that victim, I turn away. I just don't need that image in my brain. For those of you that don't know the show, I should have told you this, NCIS is Naval, what is it? Naval, I wrote it down, Criminal, you all know, Investigative Service. Mr. Navy guy knows it. NCIS, so this branch of it investigates murders of people who are enlisted Navy people, and it's really a wonderful story, but in the very beginning, they always tell you what happened, who was murdered, and how it happened, and they have to show you the victim. They have to show you the gore, although I don't really think they have to, frankly. I turn away because it's shocking still. So maybe, just maybe, we can allow the words of today's gospel to shock us to pay attention, to cause us not to turn away, though, but to dig deep in understanding the way in which Jesus used these sayings of Middle Eastern culture so that those who listened to him would pay attention. They were saying that Jesus wanted all of him to be consumed by them. Everything he stood for, every bit of him. And the same for us. When we come forward and we put our hands out, we have to physically move or have it brought to us. Put our hands out. We are saying, yes, I am giving my all. I'm giving all to you, Lord. We are to become the wisdom, the peace that is Christ, as we consume what he asked us to do in remembrance of him and of his way. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not just a symbol. There is a divine and unknowable mystery in this blessed sacrament of Holy Communion. So forgive my language in a second, but I'm going to quote Flannery O'Connor in her quote about Holy Communion. She said, "If it were only a symbol, I'd say to hell with it." And I say it in those exact words to maybe shock us too, to realize what we are partaking of in this blessed sacrament. There's wisdom and peace. Think of it in the way that our Book of Common Prayer defines a sacrament. Not now, but if you have never looked at the very back of our Book of Common Prayer, there's a section called Outline of Our Faith, and it's a question and answer format, and it's a good read. There's one question that says, what is a sacrament? And the answer is, a sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Many of you know that. You're shaking your heads. That means that inward and spiritual grace is there to begin with. And when we put our hands out to receive the outward and visible sign in the bread and the wine, it's a communion to become that which we have been made to be. And the purpose of this feast is a lifelong exploration and a relationship with Christ. And we go deeper and deeper and deeper. And we will most likely never understand in our intellect the full importance of the sacrament. That's why it's called a mystery. But it's one of the only two sacraments that Jesus gave us, the other being baptism, of course. The Reverend Suzanne Guthrie says that the purpose of our feast is, and I quote, to be our own unveiling, shedding mask upon mask and layer upon layer of our false selves, end quote. When we come to the table to shed our pride, our greed, our doubts, our fears. So whether we have confession spoken in the service or not, we are all called to say our own confession to God before we come to this table. And even if you can't remember all the things that you've done wrong, you can say, forgive me, Lord, those things that I forget and the things that I remember that I have committed this week. Forgive me, Lord. It's giving all of ourselves, every part of us. And this way of Christ does challenge our living. It doesn't mean that we can do whatever we want and then just come every Sunday and say, forgive me, and go on about our business. It challenges us. The questions I'm about to ask you, I wrote down to ask myself, because I had a great homiletics teacher, that's a teacher that teaches about preaching, say that if we aren't preaching to ourselves, we're not preaching. Any preacher that gets up and thinks they're giving you this whole big wise thing that they've got all nailed down, I wouldn't listen. Because I need to listen to these questions, so I offer them to you as well. Think of our topics of conversation as Christians. Are they filled with talking about other people, noticing the negative, or are they about solutions, about beauty, positivity, and ultimately the big three questions that we've been hounding for several years now before we speak? Is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? We should all have those emblazoned in our brain somehow, because if you can't answer yes to all three of those, it can remain unspoken. If we're wise, think of those with whom you spend your time. Those we choose to spend our time with say a great deal about the person that we are. These are the people who influence us and impact us the most in how we navigate our life's journey. How do we spend our money? How connected are we to regular prayer? What do we read? What movies do we support? Who are we helping? Do we ask for help when we need it? Do we welcome those friends and family members and counselors who call on us, who call us on our stuff? I mean, really call us on the things that we need to take a look at? Do we listen? I am not embarrassed to tell you that every once in a while I go to a counselor. I have for years, once or twice a year, more often when I've gone through difficult periods of my life. And maybe because I was a psych nurse, I see the value. I think it's a healthy thing for everybody to check in with a counselor once in a while, or a spiritual advisor for sure, and be willing and able to be open and honest, and then to have them say, you know, you may want to just tweak this a little bit or a lot, and have the humility to hear what they're saying and admit when we're wrong. Do we make a concerted effort to deepen healthy relationships, to spend the time in listening to one another? Even what we eat can affect our inner peace. So this seeking peace and pursuing it that we heard about in the Proverbs, it's important to know that the word seek is different than the word pursue. So to seek is to look for something, but to pursue is to follow after someone, to continue to investigate, explore, and discuss continually. So this pursuing is what we do when we come for Holy Communion. We're pursuing a relationship with God. Our intention is to have a relationship with God, and by putting out our hands, we are consenting to that as we receive. When my daughter, Katie, died 15 years ago, the funeral was on a Friday. Sunday, I had to come to church. I just had to be here to take communion mainly, just to be here. I didn't really want to see any people, so we snuck in this side door and sat over here, snuck back out afterwards. But there was something that drew me and something that draws all of you to this table. To know that you are welcome here with open arms in the midst of your agony, in the midst of your grief, in the midst of your heartaches, in the midst of your concern for family members, in your joy, in your celebration of life. All are welcome. And we seek, we don't seek our own understanding, but we acknowledge the Lord in all our ways, and the Lord will direct our paths. As it also says in Proverbs, this Christ relationship deepens us and deepens us and deepens us. And we are challenged. And sometimes that's painful, but the joy on the other side is so worth it. So worth it. I give you a story. Wisdom and food and wealth were going on a journey. They were walking down the road, and they were looking for a place to live. And they came upon a man, introduced themselves, and the man said, oh, where are you going? And they said, well, we're looking for a place to live. And the man said, well, wealth can live with me. And wealth said to the man, you are a foolish man. If you had chosen wisdom, all three of us could have lived with you. But you've chosen me. This cannot be. Because if I lived with you without wisdom, you would not have me long. So they started off again. They met another man. They introduced themselves. And the man said, where are you going? And they said, well, we're looking for a place to live. And the man said, well, food can live with me. And food said, well, you are not very clever. If you had chosen a certain other one of us, all of us would live with you. But look, you've chosen me. Do you think that you could keep me? No, you could not keep me. Let us go on. Farther on, they came to a man who was working. They introduced themselves, and the man said, well, where are you going? And they said, we want a place to live. And the man said, well, I would love it if wisdom would live with me. And food said, you are very clever. You've chosen wisdom, then I will live with you too. I know that you will be able to take good care of me. And Wealth said, if you have chosen wisdom, then I will live with you too. I know that you will be able to take good care of me. And all three lived with him because he had made that wise choice. We make that wise choice every time we turn back to God. Every time we turn back to God. And as we say in centering prayer, ever so gently, God's not about judging us. God's just waiting for us to keep turning back again and again and again in prayer, in Holy Communion, in helping one another. And we say, Lord, as I consume you, consume me. We give ourselves, our souls, our bodies. Amen.